They sent me out of that place. Honestly, I think I'd make a really good jury member. You probably would too. As pastors and Christians, we value truth. We value doing the right thing. We value justice for all, right? These are things that we teach, we believe. Justice is important to us. I've been watching the news lately, last few months, last few weeks. Justice is something that we've been thinking a lot about. And injustice. Concepts that are very deep and very dear to our hearts. A few months ago, I received an assignment in preaching class to preach from the legal section of Exodus. And I chose a passage there a couple chapters after Exodus 20. And I realized in my study that justice affects a whole lot deeper levels of my life than I realized previously. There are a lot of issues that we're wrestling with as a church in America today. And I realized in my study there are a lot of other issues I never even considered as a being a part of justice and seeking justice in our unjust world. Today I'd like to briefly go through that passage. But before we do that, I just want to put your mind at ease and let you know that I realize that while we all value justice together, we may not always agree and see things the same way. And I'm not going to stand here today and tell you what justice is going to look like for you in your own life. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, how to believe, how to act. But by God's grace, we'll open His Word and we'll see some principles that we can prayerfully apply in our own hearts and our own lives. Let's pray one more time. Dear Father, You're a God of justice. And I pray You'll teach us and instruct us today. We love You and we thank You. May Your Spirit be present among us. In Jesus' name, amen. So God gave the Ten Commandments, that great law of love, and it hangs on the two principles of loving God and loving each other. But God wanted to make sure that there was no ambiguity in how the people of Israel carried out this love for each other. So while on Sinai, He gave Moses additional laws to kind of spell out, this is what justice, this is what love looks like for you in these specific situations. And it's kind of that part of the Bible when you're reading through on your Bible read-through plan that you start to get bogged down a little bit. And these laws seem a little cumbersome and they don't seem to apply to our lives today. By God's grace, hopefully we'll find some new understandings about how they apply to you and me. But basically in our passage, we're going to see two types of laws. There's apodictic and casuistic laws. The apodictic laws are the typical thou shalt or the thou shalt not laws that are very clear and very universal in their application. But then there's these case laws, these casuistic laws, the if-then type of situational laws. So I invite you to open up your Bible to Exodus 23, verse 1, and we're going to explore some laws together this morning. It's not going to be fancy. It's going to be very straightforward. We'll be making application as we go all through it. And when we're done, we'll be done. Amen? Exodus chapter 23, we're starting in verse 1. Exodus 23, verse 1, I'll be reading today from the New International Version. Do not spread false reports. Do not help a wicked man by being a malicious witness. Verse 2. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. And do not show favoritism to a poor man in his lawsuit. First three verses, we already have five laws. Five things to think about. There's a lot to digest in these five laws. Let's look at the first one again. Do not spread false reports. Now, initially, we might think about gossip when we read that. That could be a part of this, but it's much deeper and broader than that. This is in the context of the legal system, the justice system. And in those days, as you recall, by the mouth of two witnesses, someone could be condemned. If two people got together and spread a false report about you, you could find yourself being stoned for something that you didn't do. The story of Naboth and his vineyard comes to my mind. He lost his life and he lost his vineyard, all because Jezebel put it in the hearts of people to spread false reports. So in Moses' day, it was extremely important that only the truth was said about people, that only the positive things were said. the true things were said, because false reports could be deadly. But I realize even today that true reports can be dangerous and deadly also. So part of justice for us is not spreading falsehood, but seeking to promote the truth. If rumors are being spread about someone, if people are bad-mouthing the seminary, maybe it's our job to stand up and say, no, it's not like that. It's not like that. Amen? People are talking bad about a professor. That's not what we do. You ever get those emails with those crazy stories about the Pope and secret meetings and all these false reports going around? Sometimes you got to get on Snopes. Sometimes you got to do some research. False reports hurt people. It hurts the cause of God. Now, we don't gossip here in seminary, but sometimes we're sneaky about, we tell the truth, but the truth can hurt a little bit. So we say, have you heard about, hey, brother, we gotta pray for Sister So-and-so because you heard what she did, right? You know, let's pray about it. But let me tell you a little more first. God's word says, don't do that, even if it's true. That's another sermon. We'll leave that for another day. Look at verse 2. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. Don't follow the crowd. Boy, we could preach a whole sermon on this, a whole sermon series. I'm not going to tell you what following the crowd looks like for you, but does peer pressure apply to pastors too? Is there a desire for us as seminarians to conform to certain desires, to go along with certain opinions, to go along with your church, even though it may not be the way you see things, the way God's word sees things? Don't go along with the crowd. It's hard to turn that movie off when you know it's just not what you should be putting in your mind. It's hard to stop your friends when they're making unjust categorizations or racist remarks. It's hard to stand up for what's right all the time, but God's word says, don't go along with the crowd. Just don't do it. Now the third verse here, it kind of surprises us a little bit. We expect it to say, favor the poor person. Because a lot of us know what it's like to be poor, amen? And we just want to be favored a little bit more. But this passage is so deeply committed to justice, it says, do the just thing, even if it means in a legal setting that you have to not favor the poor person. Ever heard of Robin Hood before? Robin Hood, the fabled archer, the person from the Sherwood Forest, who went around stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. And we applaud him. We say, Robin Hood's such a good person, right? And we forget the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. We forget that it's never right to do wrong, even for the right's sake, right? It's never right. God's word says, don't show favoritism to the poor. But God's not against poor people. If you look at verse 6 real quick, we'll see that the sword of justice cuts both ways. Verse 6, do not deny justice to your poor people in their lawsuits. In other words, don't favor the poor and don't favor the rich. Just do the just thing. Seek justice in our unjust world. In fact, if you look at verse 10 and 11, it's not in our passage for today, but verse 10 and 11 is where God is starting to lay down provisions for those that are less fortunate. Because while God seeks justice for rich and for poor, he says, look out for those who have less than you. And this isn't typical for the time period in which this was written. The Amorite king, Hammurabi, he had his legal code, and if you were a slave, for example, and you ran away, the law said, kill him. No ifs, ands, or buts, just kill him. God, in his word in Deuteronomy, says if a slave runs away, praise God, let him be free. Let him stay free. God's a God of justice, and he's also a God of mercy. So we see very clearly, whether someone's poor or whether someone's rich, these verses tell us, do the just thing. But let's continue to verse 4. Verse 4, now we get to some of these case laws, if-then type laws. If, verse 4, you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to take it back to him. Verse 5, if you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen down under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure to help him with it. Now the Bible's gone to meddling. Because it's not just dealing with poor and rich now. It's talking about the people that we like and that we don't like. If you see your enemy's ox. Now, we don't have oxen today. Oh boy, but we don't have enemies in seminary either, right? But maybe there are people that you have a harder time getting along with here at seminary. Maybe it's that guy that you just can't stand, or that girl that parses Greek so much better than you. She just always gets 100% and the curve on the test is just, If you see that she leaves her car headlights on, draining her battery while she's going to chapel, justice says you got to tell her. They drop their ID card, their wallet, and you're just kind of think, well, I'll just let it sit. No, God's word says, do the just thing, whether you like them or whether you don't like them. In those times, the ox, the donkey, that was like their transport system. For a farmer, it was his tractor, his harvester, all of these things. A loss of that type of animal could be devastating, even if you don't like a person. God says, we have to treat them with justice. Everybody deserves justice, whether they're rich, whether they're poor. Everybody, whether they're your friend, whether they're your frenemy, God says they deserve justice. Now, we've looked at verse 6 already, but before we continue to verse 7, I want to ask you something. Do these verses about treating your enemy as you would like to be treated, does that sound familiar at all? Loving your enemy, as it were? Sometimes we look at these Old Testament laws and we say, man, they're just a bunch of random, it's just a potluck of random laws, addendums that God gave to his Ten Commandments. But what we see here, this is actually the foundation for the gospel of treating others the way you want to be treated. Loving another person, even if it's your enemy, the way you wish that you would be loved. So when Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, he's basing it on these foundational principles. Treat everybody with justice, whether they're rich or poor. Treat everybody with justice, whether you like them or whether you don't. Now, verse 7. Have nothing to do with a false charge, and do not put an innocent or honest person to death, for I will not acquit the guilty. Do not accept a bribe, verse 8, for a bribe blinds those who see and twists the words of the righteous. Once again, we're coming back to this idea. Speak the truth. Promote the truth. Truth is essential. It matters. It's a matter of life and death. Don't let the innocent die. Don't let the honest person be condemned for something that he didn't do. Don't accept a bribe, because a bribe will tempt you to pervert justice. Seek justice for the rich, seek justice for the poor, seek justice for those you like, seek justice for those that you don't like. Now we get to verse 9. 9 is our last verse. But I think it's the heart of the passage. We'll spend a little bit of time here. It says, do not oppress a foreigner, for you yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners, because you were foreigners in Egypt. Other translations use the word stranger or alien. New King James says, you know the heart of a stranger. The basis for doing all these things, God says, remember what you came from? You remember what the situation was like for you? You don't want that for other people. So make sure you don't do the same thing that others did to you, like you had done to you in Egypt. Treat everybody with justice. Welcome the people who are strangers, because you were a stranger also. I was driving down the road one day in Visalia, California, an agricultural community. They grow lots of produce there, grow lots of oranges, pomegranates there. At least they used to when California had water. But it's serious out there. It's really serious. Really serious. But as I was driving along, I looked off to the right side. I saw a billboard. And it was kind of a hand-drawn billboard, and it had a Bible verse on it, and it was one of these verses, or a similar verse. It said, do not oppress the foreigner in your midst. And on the billboard was a picture of a person picking fruit off of a tree, and I realized, whoa, that's talking about migrant workers. Don't oppress the foreigners. And I'd never thought about this verse like that before. People coming from other countries to make money, to pick the food that I go to the grocery store and purchase on a regular basis, don't oppress them. I got to admit, when I go to the store, I go with Sister Lois. You know who Lois is? First name's Lois, her last name's Prices. And I actually, Grocery Outlet makes Lois, it says it right here, Lois Prices. That's what I go to find when I'm at the store. She'll just stay here the rest of the message. You come see her afterward if you want. I go to the store and I think about, what's the cheapest item I can get? I want to save money. But I don't ask myself, whose hands picked this for me? What conditions were they picked under? We sent a bunch of teenagers out on outreach at camp meeting a couple summers ago in California. They went out, found some migrant workers. They said, is there anything that you need? And the people said, actually, we have no water today. Working under the hot sun all day long, no water, totally illegal working conditions. They got them some water. Do we think about the conditions? By the way, they had to bend over all day long. Strawberries don't grow at arm level up here. They grow down on the ground. Do we think about it? I got to admit, when I go online, when I look for shoes, when I look for clothes, I'm not often asking myself, I wonder whose hand stitched these together for me. You read about the collapse of, there was a factory recently, within the last year, that collapsed, 3,000 people, something like that, injured, killed, something like that, horrible conditions. Are we thinking about the stranger, the foreigner? Now, sure, we'd never put a kid in a sweatshop and say, hey, make me some shoes, I want some more shoes. But would we go to a store here in America where some shoes had been sent to, and there's a nice low price tag on it? Would we buy the shoes that they made? Probably without thinking about it, we might. I'm not here to be a label reader. I'm not here to judge what you're wearing. I got to think about what I'm own wearing, what I'm wearing myself. But I think it's part of this idea of seeking justice for all means we need to think about the consequences of where our dollars go, who we support when our purchasing habits are supporting things. What type of conditions are we helping to promote, either good or bad, in the things that we buy? I dated this girl several years ago who was very aware of these issues. Let's just say it like that. And it was a bit of a struggle for me because I hadn't thought about these things before. It even got down to the level of don't, or let's just say I was highly discouraged from drinking certain water bottle brands, even though this one brand, brand X, tasted far better than brand Y. But brand X was a company that didn't treat people as well as brand Y, and so guess what brand of water I drank? Brand Y, even though it didn't taste near as good. Didn't work out between the two of us. For some reason, I don't know why. And I kind of chuckle thinking back. But honestly, I've started to think more about these things. And I started to have a greater respect and appreciation for starting to think more about justice in the big level, the big picture items, and also the very small things. It's all a part of the same question. Whether someone's rich or poor, whether someone's your friend or your enemy, whether someone is a stranger or a local, they all deserve to be treated with justice. What about here at seminary? Verse 9 says, don't oppress a foreigner. Is there anyone that wasn't born in America studying here in our wonderful seminary? Absolutely. We're so glad that you're here. I put myself in your shoes and I think, man, if I went to seminary in another country, in another language, how would I do? How patient would I want other people to be with me as I struggled to understand, as I struggled to understand the cultural nuances? Kind of makes me think about my own life here. Makes me want to be more friendly, more welcoming to everybody, whether they're born here or born somewhere else. whether their culture is like mine or the culture is like something else. Whether someone's rich or poor, whether they're friend or enemy, whether they're foreigner or local, God's word says treat everybody with justice. Seek justice in our unjust world. I don't know what you're dealing with today. I don't know what kind of unjust situations you face in your own life. But I know somebody who understands. Our God is able to command us to be just because he is the ultimate epitome of justice. Our Jesus knows what it's like to experience injustice in our world, doesn't he? He knows what it's like. He was rich, but for our sakes, he became poor. He was no stranger in the courts of heaven, but he left that. He left his home to become a stranger here in our world. He is our friend, but we treated him like our enemy. He knows what it's like to have lies spread about him. He knows what it's like to have rumors spread about him. He dealt with all forms of prejudice. He knows what it's like to be unjustly tried and condemned for crimes that he didn't commit. And he knows what it's like to be killed for something he didn't do. I love those words from Ellen White. Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. He was condemned for our sins, in which he had no share, that we might be justified by his righteousness, in which we had no share. He suffered the death which was ours, that we might receive the life that was his. And by his stripes, we are healed. Friends, I don't know how Jesus will apply this message in your own life, and it's not my job to tell you. Maybe today it'll be something as simple as next time a rumor is coming around, stopping it in its tracks. Speaking positive things, truthful things about others. Maybe stopping your friends if there's a racist joke or an unjust categorization that's being made. Maybe serving on a jury when your opportunity rolls around and joyfully doing it, rejoicing in the privilege and making a just decision. Maybe it's reading up on your clothing or the food that you get to see if it's a company that has standards that you can get behind. Maybe it's standing up against police brutality, speaking out against other social issues. Or maybe it's something as simple as making more friends with people from different countries or different cultures here in our seminary family. I don't know what God will call you to do, but I do know that God will guide us as a seminary to what is good. And what does the Lord require of us? Say it with me. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. Is that your desire? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thought for just a few minutes this morning about ways that you might want us to apply justice in our lives. Our world is filled with so much abuse of justice. Father, we just desire to be more like you, to have your love in our hearts, to love everybody, whether they're like us or whether they're not like us. No matter what background they come from, Father, help us to treat everybody and see everybody with the same love and honor and dignity that you see all of us with. Give us strength because it's not always easy, and give us joy. We love you and we thank you. Let all God's people say, amen. Amen.